568 is a number in the Whom book. May the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day.
Pray to the Father. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful opportunity that you give all of us to study your word and to grow spiritually, to mature. And we all ask you to help us in understanding of your word and to grow and mature in Christ. Thank you for everything. Amen. Okay, today my paper is a summary, maybe, like, of some of the points. But if I go through the whole thing, it's going to take a while. So I just put together some slides, and thanks to my daughter, she helped me with some graphics. So I put some slides, and we can go through the slides and see about see information about the levels of spiritual maturity. And the paper has more details, and the paper is I wish to spend more time on the paper to basically to correct some errors, but I mean typos, or if you see something, please forgive me. It's just a problem that I was traveling too much and had so many things. But anyway, I don't know if you heard about I have some friends who complain often. Actually, one coworker is he's 30 years old, and he says, "Have you ever felt like that you haven't accomplished something, like midlife crisis or something like that?" I feel that I haven't. I'm 30 years old, and I haven't accomplished many things. And he's a Pentecostal, so he's always unsatisfied with what he is. I told him that I'm satisfied because I'm in Christ. Nothing can be better for me than being in Christ. But what we see, many Christians, they're not satisfied in their lives. not satisfied, and they think they have to accomplish something, and they haven't accomplished something. They feel perhaps even old inside. But the Bible says that even though the let me read it. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. So the inward man is renewed day by day. And good thing is that we all as Christians, we have this inner man that is renewed day by day. But the problem is that for some Christians, they just don't realize it, or they don't understand it, or what's happening. And another verse that talks about it is in Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I don't know, I'm not very good in Greek, but I'm learning Greek thanks to Luther. So I translate it a little bit different. Correct me if I am wrong. So I translate it not in righteousness and true holiness, but holiness of the truth. That's how I translate it. So, that holiness comes from the understanding of the doctrine of truth. The truth. And if a person understands a doctrine of the truth, that they can grow. That is, I think, the idea of this verse. And the final stage of this growth is in Ephesians 4:13, if we read further, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God under a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we have this beginning of the spiritual growth when we have salvation. And when we are saved, two things are happening. Like Dave was talking a lot about it, and previous brother, they were talking about it. Two things happen to the believer. One thing is regeneration, and another thing is spirit baptism. So if nothing is born, nothing can grow, right? So if a person is not born from above, the person cannot grow because there is nothing that is born. But then on the other hand, if the person does not realize the spirit baptism or immersion in the body of Christ, they also cannot grow, even though they are born again. So we have like three categories of people in general. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3, we can extract three general groups. And on this slide I put these groups. We have saved people, and we have unsaved people. It's two big groups. And this saved group people, we can also divide and put another group that are carnal Christians. So they're Christians, but they're carnal. And that's what the Bible says. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 3:1, let me read it. Paul says here, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So they're brethren, and they're in Christ. That means they are saved, right? They are saved, but they don't grow. They are carnal, they are babes. And on the other hand, we are saved people and then unsaved people. Unsaved people are in the previous chapter. It's a natural man, or the more correctly to say, it's a soulish man, psychikos. It's a man who emanates things from the soul. It's soulish men. Those men, they don't understand spiritual things. These are unsaved people. So if we start talking something spiritual or something that some truth from the Bible to the unsaved person, that person will never understand it. Even that person was going to the church, you know, all their years. They just cannot understand based on the Bible. They don't have that ability to understand things from the Bible. So this presentation is for us, for saved people. But those who are saved, they will be able to understand. But those who are not saved, they need to realize that salvation comes from faith. Faith in the gospel. Not in, like, people say, oh, you have to repent. You have to come forward in front of the church. You have to kneel. You have to repeat a sinner's prayer. And then you are saved. So if you didn't do that, you are not saved. But Bible says, if you read Romans 1st chapter, that the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Right? Who believes. So believing is important. If you read 1st Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, again we read about believing the gospel. Paul preached the gospel and they believed the gospel. They got saved because they believe. So believing is what's important. Believing the message that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. Then he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. That's what saves person. That faith. Faith in a certain promise of God. Not in general faith. In something like people believe that God exists. It doesn't save a person. There is a life faith and also dead faith. So there are two things. Only faith that is in the right subject or in the right promise of God saves a person in this dispensation. So when this happens, we have saved people. And as a result of regeneration, we have a person who is born. And that person is a child of God. And the spirit baptism, we have a new position of a person as a son. And there are two different words in Greek, and we all know about this. So we have a child, and we have a son. So what I did for this paper, I just took some verses. Maybe it's not all of them, but I took some verses that talk about different levels of the maturity, the spiritual maturity. And I try to put all, those verses or those definitions on this sort of ladder. Because we have steps here. So we can go from the very beginning up to the very top. Maybe not to the very top, but we can go up at least. But we can place the verses. And the verses are listed as follows. I have 1 John 2, 12, from 12 to 17. It's a very famous place. Then I have Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 17. I have 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 that I already read. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. So in this all of these verses, we have some levels of spiritual growth. So let's take a look first at 1 John chapter 2, from 12 to 17. I will read from King James Version, but I put some different words where we have these categories of people. In parentheses. I write unto you little children. And little children here is the word technia in Greek. Because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, which is pateras in Greek. Because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you young men, neonister. Because you have overcome the wicked one, I write unto you little children, my dear, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers, again, pateras, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, neonisko, again, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So we have several
categories here, or maybe a few categories of people. And it starts from of Christians, actually. It's for Christians. It's the whole letter of John, or maybe all letters of New Testament, they're not written for unbelievers. They're written for Christians. Even though the language is quite simple from Luther, that the language of the first letter of John is simple, and usually in seminaries people start learning Greek and they use First John. The language is simple, but the idea is not simple. And if person is not saved, they're not going to be able to understand this. I even heard, I'm from Slavic Baptist Church originally. It's back from Ukraine, and then I was attending a church in Salem, Oregon. And they're not teaching that these are steps of maybe some levels of the spiritual maturity of the believers. They were teaching that this is like almost like physical people. That was wrong, and now I understand that people just did not understand what these verses are explaining to us. So if we look at these verses, the first one that we see is little children, which is technia. And I looked up at where this definition is used, technia. This is basically a translation of the word techno. Techno means a child, but the child is a technion. Actually, this is word technion, but technion is a diminutive of the word techno. So this is the same as we have a child. So child, but a diminutive form. And that's why it's translated as little children. But they have certain characteristics, like this characteristic that their sins are forgiven for his name's sake. And we know that when the person is saved, and when the person becomes a child of God, their sins are forgiven. So this is not the level of the growth. This is more like a state. More like a state of a person. So when the person enters the family of God, they become technio or techno. In my opinion, this is the same. I don't separate these two. It's like just a different address, but technon belongs to all, and technion belongs to all believers. All believers are little children and children of God. So this is we're not going to place it because this belongs to all people. On this chart, we have regenerated is a child. A child. Child by regeneration. So this is written for children of God who are regenerated from the Spirit of God. Now, if we read the Father, we can see next category. We see here Pateras, we see Neoniska, we see this Paideia, which is also translated as little child. So we want to look at those, but we also want to look at other places in the scripture. In other places of the scripture, we have some information where actually we also have babies. Like I already read 1 Corinthians 3:1. Is babies in Christ, right? And we also have some other verses that talk about babies. Let's read some of those. So 1 Corinthians 3:1, I read it again. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Then if we read Ephesians 4:13-14, it's again babies here. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, unto measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of man. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Here we have children, but in reality, you know, even in Russian Bible it says babies. babies, not children. The word here is nepios. Nepios is I heard translation is inarticulate babbler. It's like a baby. We're gonna look at that more in more detail. The next verse is in Hebrews chapter 5, from 11 to 14, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And then we read another verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. More correct translation, and Dave already was talking about it, is be grown. Right? It's a passive voice. That you may be grown thereby. So we see some babies, but there are two different words in this verse. There are babies, nepios babies, nepios in Greek, and there are babies, brephos babies. So two different Greek words that describe babies. And now, if we just do, if we look at the scriptures and look at all of those verses where this babies are used, or the words are used, this nepios and brephos, we can get some interesting information. So we have the word breakfast. I found 8 times is used in New Testament. And only 2 out of these 8 are related to the spiritual maturing of the believers. The other 6 are used to describe normal physical age of a person. So we have this word in Luke, first chapter, where we have to describe the baby that is still not born, that is in the mother's womb. It's used, the word breakfast is used, and then we have it in Luke chapter 2. This word is used in regards of baby Jesus, again. And then we have Luke 18, and those babies were brought to Jesus and carried in hands, this breakfast, again. And then we have Acts 7:19. We have again newborn babies. So we can, and then also another verse is in 1 Peter 2:3. Actually 2:2. We have wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So we have this again, this baby's breakfast in this verse, but this is more like this is used in relation to the new believers. Is they have to desire, and it's imperative that is used here. That you desire, that it's like a command in Greek, right? When it's imperative, it's a command. And Peter says to the believers, they have to desire to grow. So this breakfast, and then another breakfast is in 2 Timothy chapter 3:15, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it's in reference to Timothy. But if you think of the Timothy, here in King James we have a child. In Greek version there is a word breakfast, meaning that from this physical breakfast that we see in the scriptures, we can say that this is applicable to the young child who can be still in the mother's womb, or maybe just born. So now Paul, when he talks to Timothy, he says, you from a child. So you are from the condition when you are a baby. And then in Russia, I heard the Russian preachers, they were saying, oh, he was, because in Russian it says baby. You from babyhood. You from babyhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. In Russia they say, logically, how the baby can know the Holy Scriptures from the childhood, right? The baby cannot know. It's too young. They say it's a mother and grandmother of Timothy. They were reading the Scriptures. Even when he wasn't, he hasn't still born, he was still in Eunice's womb. She was reading to him the Scriptures. And being in the womb, he could hear, and from that age, he basically could absorb the Scriptures. To me, this is nonsense. Because it cannot be true about the baby. We believe that it's all logical, right? It's all inside of the person, spiritual. The person has to think about the truth. But what can baby think about? The baby wants to eat, right? If the baby doesn't get food, the baby cries. That's the life of the baby. They either eat and sleep, or they cry. Eat, sleep, cry. That's it. How they can know the Scripture? So, Paul is not talking about physical baby here, I believe. He's talking about the state when Timothy was born. And from the state when he was born, he was focused on the Scriptures. He desired, like Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2:2, he desired to understand and to learn from the Word of God. And that's how he was grown. So that's why I put breakfast baby on, like as the very first step. So this is a normal development of the newborn Christian. When they are born, and if they desire spiritual or sincere milk, right, sincere milk of the world, of the word, they can grow. So this is the very first thing. It's breakfast. When they desire, they grow. Now another word that we have is nepios. If you look at the usage of this this word nepios in the Scriptures, we have a few places. So I found 10. I found 10 times where it's used in New Testament. Two times it is used to describe disciples during the earthly ministry of Christ. It's in Matthew chapter 11 and Luke chapter 10:21. One time is used of physical babies that were greeting Jesus when he was entering Jerusalem. Remember? Also the same nepios was used. Two times it was used by Paul as an illustration of the growing process. This was just an illustration. It's in 1 Corinthians 3:11 and Galatians chapter 4 verse 1. And then in remaining verses, it is used to describe the impeded growth of the believer. If you look at Romans 2:20, 3 Corinthians 3:1, we already did. Remember, this carnal Corinthians is 1 Corinthians 3:1. Then we have Galatians 4:3, Ephesians 4:14, and Hebrews 5:13. And two of those verses, they also describe unsaved Jews. And I put this Romans 2:20 and Galatians 4:3, if you look at the context. Okay, so if you read from 1 Corinthians again, what we see here is the state of carnality of the I read it again, 1 Corinthians 3, from verses from 1 to 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it, neither now you're able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, you are carnal and walk as man. So this Christians, they are definitely carnal. And then if you look at the Ephesians, the verse in the Ephesians, letter of Ephesians, again we see the same type of condition that is not that is not good for Christians. What that we henceforth be no more children, nepios children, so babies, not children really, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we have like a picture like a boat in the stormy sea. It's just tossed with the waves and carried about with the wind. And this is the condition of this nepios type of baby. So this is a, like a negative state. If you look at Corinthians, it's hard. Like it's a carnal condition, nepios. If you look at the Ephesians, again, we have somebody who is very easily deceived by false teaching. By false teaching. I think this is a very, very, this state is very common now, this time. Unfortunately. Like, we are here, we come here, I'm sure many people got invitation. Many people got invitation to come to this place, but how many people came? Not many, really. Because, why they didn't come? Are they all not saved? I don't think so. Maybe there are many people who are saved, but they just in that state that they're carnal, basically, I would say. Maybe they're busy, they're lazy, they're different things, but people don't want to get good teaching. We see it all over the place. I talked to several co-workers at my work. They're from different Christian denominations. They just don't want to understand, to learn more from the word. They say like, oh, we know everything. They're very much looking like this last group of Christians in from chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. They're rich, they have no need in anything, so they don't need anything. That's what they say. But in reality, I think many of those Christians, they have this state of nepios, when they basically stopped in their growing, and maybe they didn't get the concept, or maybe they didn't get the teaching of who they are in Christ. It's probably the case, because I remember myself. It was really hard to grow on the food that I was getting in my previous church. It was just a shame what they were preaching about. It's impossible to grow. Maybe that's what's happening to them. But people don't grow. When they don't grow, they stay in this nepios state. Or if they are carnal, it's they're not spiritual, right? They're not spiritual. It's a problem. So I put them here, in this category. So they're still Christians, but they're nepios state. So they don't grow. So they stay here. By the way, from many of these steps, I think a Christian has a danger. There's a danger to drop to this nepios baby state. Because we are spiritual enemies. And like we already heard that some teachers, they deny it. They say, oh, you don't have carnal nature. It's sin nature. It's not there. It's done. It doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist, then the person doesn't fight it. If the person doesn't fight it, then the sin nature can easily win over that person, right? So let's take a look now at the next level. So breakfast is a good state of a newborn Christian who desires to grow spiritually from the sincere milk, right? That's what the Bible says. Then the next level, we can find again in 1 John 2:13. And this word is children, little children, but the Greek word is paideia. And their main characteristic is that they have known the Father. This paideia, children, paideia, children, they have known the Father. So what does it mean to know the Father? By the way, from Greek, it's in perfect tense. What does the perfect tense mean in Greek? We all know that it's like something happened in the past, but the result of this action continues in present. It has effect on that. So these children, by idea, little children, they have known the Father. So they have known the Father in the past, and they're in the state of knowing the Father when it was written to them. So what does it mean to know the Father? I think that the best verse, in my opinion, is in the Lord's Prayer. Not the Lord's Prayer that people refer to the Lord's Prayer, but the real Lord's Prayer in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Jesus, when he prays to the Father, he says, "And thou hast given him the power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you has given him. And this is the life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God." The only true God. "And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So, you see, this characteristic of this eternal life is to know. And the word is ginosko, experientially know, the Father. The only true God. And this is in the reference to the Father. So, these people, or these Christians, these children, by the end, they have known the Father. They have known the Father. And they continue in the state of knowing the Father. Meaning that they have experienced eternal life in their life. We know that all Christians have this wonderful possession of eternal life. We know it from 1 John 5:11. All Christians possess eternal life. But the problem is that not all Christians, they experience that life. These Pagan children, they experience that. And how can we experience the eternal life if we don't overcome the sin nature? Right? So this is, I think, the very first step. The Christian has to overcome the sin nature to experience the fruit of the Spirit. So, that's why I think to know the Father is means to overcome the sin nature of the person. My own sin nature. I want to know the Father experientially. I need to overcome my sin nature. To overcome my sin nature, what do I need to know? What is the most important thing? Is the result of immersion, right? The result of immersion in the body of His Son. Without that, it's impossible to have victory over sin nature. We know it from Romans chapter 6. So it's impossible to overcome the sin nature without knowing the position of Christ. It's another prerequisite, I would say, for the spiritual growth. So these Pagan children, they have known the Father, meaning that they know the results of their immersion in the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. They have known that. And they could overcome the sin nature. They could experience the first manifestation of the eternal life in their lives. And so I put them in the next step of of this letter. So now we have another category of Christians in the first letter of John, second chapter. We have neonistas, which is translated as young men. And the young men here, they're characterized by the following. They're strong, right? They're strong. So they have no problem to overcome the sin nature. And the Word of God abides in them. So if the Word of God abides in the person, what's happening to the person? It's the fruit of the Spirit, right? And the fruit of the Spirit has 9 qualities. And the first quality is love. They have experienced that love in their life. But their problem is that if we read further, they don't apply it correctly. They misapply this part of the fruit of the Spirit. They misapply it by loving this world. We can see from the imperative later which says,
that love not the world.
We go back and read it again.
I have written
unto you, young man, which is near Niskoi, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things of that world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Or I think it's instrumental. It's by him. Love in the Father is not by him. So, see, these people are strong. The word of God abides in them, meaning that they have love, and also they have overcome the wicked one. So that's another spiritual enemy, right? That they have overcome. So, basically, to get to the young man status, they have to be able to overcome the evil one. And they also have manifestation of the eternal life in the form of the fruit of the Spirit. They have it, but they misapply. What we see from here, love not the world. So this imperative is used here. That is better translated as stop loving the world. They basically were in the state of loving the world, but it was a problem. And how can a spiritual person love the world? This is not the love of the world when we read in James 2nd chapter. When we read when people love things of this world. I've been to China recently, like a couple weeks ago. And I've seen this world system. I mean, China is becoming the next superpower. And it's ballooning. And you can see this world system in operation. They carefully plan, they implement, it's all working, people are very busy, they do things, they try to get things. This is looking more like we have in James, but of course James is about more about Christians. But this is unbelievers. It's their environment. They like it. And to the point that they don't care about other people. After I came back from China, I listened to the BBC news on the radio, and they were talking about one accident that happened in China. And I could believe them because I was there just a week before they were talking about it. A young girl was hit by a car, and it's hit and run. She was hit by a car, and it was all captured on the camera. She was hit, went on the road, the car is gone. Then the next car is approaching, hits that girl again. She's still on the road. And then many cars, they just pass by, they don't stop. Until one lady, garbage collector, on the old rusty bicycle, she stopped and helped that girl. And that girl got help in the hospital and everything. But many people, they just didn't stop. They're too busy. They don't care much about it. It's their lifestyle. So, unfortunately, we see similar situation with Christians. When they're occupied by these things of this world, they want to get more and more and more and more things. 1 John chapter 2 is not that thing. The word is used here for love is agape. Agape love is a sacrificial love. So they love this world to the point of sacrifice, meaning that they want to change this world. They love it and they want to change it. They want to make it better. So this is the love that we see in the second chapter of first letter of John. And it's a problem. If they love this world, if they want to change it, they forget one thing. They forget one thing. That this world is going to be changed pretty soon by the judgment. God is going to judge this world. He's going to take His own from this world by the means of rapture. We're all going to, I don't know if we're all going to see the rapture, but probably, yeah, you just, maybe we're not going to experience that. Or maybe we're going to, yes, we're going to experience that actually. We're going to experience the rapture. But in the state of being alive or being resurrected, that's the difference. But after God will take His own from this earth, He's going to judge it. So we as Christians, we won't be able to change anything in this world. We're not going to do it. Because we are not of this world. That's the thing. And that's the problem that needs to be resolved for this young man to grow to the next spiritual level. So I put young man here. So young man, they're strong. The word of God abides in them, and they have overcome the wicked one. But they love this world with sacrificial love, agape love. Then if you read, if we continue, we can read about the Father. Right? The Father is a Greek word, pater. Pateres. Pater is the Father. And so they are characterized by their ability to experientially know the one who is from the beginning. And it's used two times. The one who is from the beginning. And who is the one from the beginning? The one from the beginning. And to know experientially. If you read Revelation in chapter 3, chapter 21, and chapter 22, says that God the Son is the one from the beginning. God the Son is the one from the beginning. If we also read in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, there was direct answer of Jesus to Pharisees. He was saying them that He is the one from the beginning. So the fathers here, they know experientially, they know Christ. And knowing Christ experientially is also including to know that He's going to come again. And He's going to come again to take His own from this world. And this is the major thing that helps Christians to overcome this world system. This blessed hope. When we know that He's going to come to take us from this world, it helps us to live righteously. It helps us to overcome this world. It helps us not to love the things of this world and grow. So I put fathers here. But that's not the end. We also have some other verses, and we have a mature man. And that's in Ephesians chapter 4. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So this is Ephesians 4:13. So this state is characterized by the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then based on Hebrews chapter 5, they have ability to teach others. This is not the gift. This is ability, I believe, we're talking about. Because there is a gift of a teacher and pastor teacher. But what we read in Hebrews, it's related to time. Right, further to time, and by that time they should have that ability to teach, but they didn't have that ability. And they were nepios type of babies that needed milk, not the food. So this is a ability to teach others is a part of this telos, is a mature man. And speaking the truth in love and helping others to grow. That's why they need that ability to teach, to share to others, so that others could grow. And they grow, they all grow in Christ, not by themselves. So I put this as the next step, mature man. But this is not the limit, because there is no limit for maturing. You cannot reach the final state until you get to the rapture. So it's a growing steps. They continue until we're all gonna be like Him. So to summarize, like in normal life of a person, in physical life, I would say, we have a person, like human being, that is born. Right? Is born, first it's a baby, then a baby grows and starts to make first steps and then speak and then perhaps go to school, learn to do things, and then after a while we can realize that the person is no longer a child, it's a grown up person. That's a normal life. In the spiritual life, in the Christian life, that might not be the case. We might have somebody who basically was born in Christ long time ago, but still in the state of being a pure baby or carnal Christian, not growing at all. Or we may have someone who is younger, like Timothy, for instance, but who has grown a lot. So this growing process is does not depend on that. It depends on how a Christian utilizes what God has provided for the spiritual growth. And that's important part. So that's my desire for myself and for all of us, that we may grow in Christ by utilizing what God has provided to us. And so that in our lives, the life of Christ, life of God would be manifested. Because this is ultimately what brings the joy and happiness to a believer. When the eternal life is manifested in our lives, when we can all experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Glory to the God. Amen. So I have that's my presentation. I don't know if that was okay.
Does anybody have any questions? I mean, it's, again, the fact that we not only have a salvation, we can mature in that salvation is pretty incredible, actually. You know, they didn't get to do that in the law. Does anybody have any specific questions? All right, we'll go ahead and take a break. Let's go until about 15 till, and then we'll start again.
So, okay.